You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batour Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Can I ask you guys some? Are you guys familiar with the Banana Bowl?
No.
I was doing radio last week, late night, and when I do radio, I turn on the ESPN app. I just say, what's on? And turn it on, and it says Banana Bowl, banana versus animals. And I'm like, okay, you got me.
Huh?
I click on it, and it's baseball, but it's baseball unlike I've ever seen before.
So this is the Savannah Bananas?
Yes.
I'm over them.
Really?
Too much.
Billy, let me tell you about
it's
too much.
It's a lot of publicity that they're getting right now.
It turned into like the Globetrotters.
They are like the Globetrotters in that I don't know how many games they actually even play in Savannah, because when me and Chris went earlier this year, we did a spring training game for the Marlins, like we called the game, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And that they were setting up Savannah Banana like memorabilia because Savannah Bananas were in town to play a game against whoever
the party animals. That's their main rivals.
Yeah, no, they do. They have like the Generals or whatever, right? They have the team that they always beat up on.
The party animals, their uniform, I shit you not,
has no sleeves, right?
It's sleeveless and it's like a tuxedo t-shirt.
Yeah.
It's a sleeveless tuxedo t-shirt.
But this stuff's not that creative. Hold on. They're doing like a TikTok dance before they pitch it. It's not that fun.
The guys would show up and it, like their fun fact was like, superpower I'd like to have, the ability to read women's minds. I was like, what are we doing here, right? And guys are dancing, and the one pitcher is wearing like overalls, like a 1920s clown, and he's like throwing the ball between his legs, and all of it is dumb. But there was one part of it I was like, you know what? This could work.
Not the fire bat.
No. Because
I see that, and I'm like, what if that ball catches on fire, then we're dealing with third-degree burns.
The guy with the stilts is the one where I was like, what are we doing here? Like, literally got 14 feet tall on stilts. But no. The one thing
I love him in center field. Like, the center fielder's on stilts.
The one thing I thought we could use is there's a clock. Like, they count down.
Like a pitch clock?
No, like a game clock.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like you go through innings, but like, yo, when the clock strikes zero, I don't care what inning it is.
The games last like an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, and I'm like, this is brilliant. This is the one thing that they're doing. I'm like, this could make baseball work.
Yeah, I heard the whole ESPN Daily episode about it, and like they're basically creating a different form of baseball. There are the Savannah Bananas that enter, I think, like an independent league or like a Cape Cod league or like something like that. And then there is a Savannah Bananas that like are trying to change the sport.
Oh, there's creating, different bananas? Like,
yeah, there's two different sets of bananas.
But so here's the wildest thing about that game.
But here's the thing about that clock, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're up one run with 5 minutes left, you're just dragging ass.
But if there's a pitch clock.
So it's like soccer.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if there's a pitch clock, then you can't do that.
Yeah.
Billy, have you ever seen a ball go out of bounds with 5 minutes left in a soccer game?
Oh, yeah.
It's so annoying.
Let me tell you guys.
He walks over.
Oh, back.
But then he walks back, and then he drops the ball.
Then he waltzes away with my drugs. No, the fun thing about soccer in, like, the 90s, like, this is... There wasn't like multiple balls. Now it's like ball goes out of bounds. There's a kid with a ball like here. It used to be one ball. So like when they're trying to kill time, they would just boot that shit like into the sky, like just 17 rows in.
In terms of innovations, the best one was you used to be able to
pass back to the goalkeeper.
And you could pick it up with both hands.
Theoretically,
the goalkeeper can roll the ball out. The defender can just give it back to the goalkeeper with both hands, and they could just kill 20 minutes that way.
Do you remember in semi-pro this where he's posting
sound
up?
Like fun.
No, it doesn't.
No, that's why they changed the rules,
so you can't do that anymore.
So what, like, what if you punted the ball like into the stands and someone decided, you know what, I'm going to stab this with a pen, and then there's no air in the ball. Well, that's the only ball.
Theoretically, the ref is like, there's stoppage time, so he's accounting for all of this waste of time.
No, I'm saying, which, like,
by the way,
there's
only
one
enough.
Ball.
No.
They popped the ball.
There's another ball in the stadium, right? It's just, it wasn't readily available like it is now. But my favorite thing about that rule before they changed that rule, Witty, was it was the semi-pro. It was like, throw it in the blender. Oh, no, I'm not ready yet. They just kept passing it back and forth. Yeah. Oh, man.
There was a study done that there is about half as much stoppage time given as there should be. That if we had like a clock that stopped, it would like take 10 minutes more each half.
It is the most stupid,
arbitrary,
obstinate thing about that. Like, we can do this so much better. I mean, American sports, when it stops, we stop the clock.
Yeah.
And then start the clock. Like, we know our timing is on point. Then they're like, about 5 minutes.
Thereabouts. Yeah.
Why wouldn't the ref have an ability to stop the clock? So it's like, if I feel like right now time's being wasted, stop.
Theoretically, that's what the guy, you know,
but
on
he's
the
doing
side
it with
doing
the fourth official.
Yeah.
Like they should be keeping track. But like the other day, Inter Miami played a game in which there was a minimum of 1 minute added, and the team scored like 40 seconds beyond the minute. Like, the referee is just in complete control. This is the biggest area of match fixing, that if a referee was ever crooked, it would just be like, oh, I'm just going to let the time go because
was
there is a...
ever crooked as if they're not.
Right. Well, I mean, I try and believe that referees have some integrity, but there you know, like, if there were ever crooked referees, then that, like, was the perfect area of the game to exploit. It's something that is completely in the referee's control.
Speaking of crooked referees, tomorrow's Basketball Illuminati. Don't want to miss this one.
Oh, boy. What do we got?
We got the man who wrote the book on Tim Donaghy, right? They got the Netflix Untold Tim Donaghy story coming out, I believe, this week, or it might already be out. So we got the guy who wrote the book. The book was called is it Gaming the Game, I believe.
I'll look it up for you, but go on.
And he it's Gaming the Game. It's written by Sean Patrick Griffin. And Sean, he's a professor of law at the Citadel, right? So this dude is like, he's in this shit.
Can't wait to watch them lose 66-7 first weekend of college football.
Citadel. but he talked to the FBI. He talked to the co-conspirators. He did like this thoroughly exhaustive research about Tim Donaghy and the shit that he was full of shit on and the shit that was not quite reported or whatever. And so they approach him to be in this documentary. And he asks him, did you guys read the book? And they're like, no, not really. And as he's talking to them, he realizes this is just like, hey, well, Tim Donaghy said this, so we're just going to go with it. It's just the idea that they got Tim Donaghy to sit down, they were ready to carte blanche everything.
It's sort of like what happened with Manti Te'o. I know that like some of that stuff was a little bit revelatory, but really the whole conceit was, they got Manti Te'o, he sat down, they're paying him. This is going to sort of be Manti Te'o's version of events.
Except, and that's fine if it's Manti Te'o, someone who we generally consider to be an honest person. Tim Donaghy is like a pathological liar almost. So,
really?
Yeah, like it's in the book. So Sean Patrick Griffin is our guest tomorrow. He sat down with us. He gave us like great insight, things that you never knew about the Donaghy scandal. And by the way, things that won't be in this documentary because there's reason to believe that we shouldn't have a lot of confidence in the filmmaking.
The sports media really failed on that one, huh?
Because David Stern said it was just one rogue guy and we kept it moving.
How do you decide if you're SPG to go like first name, middle name, last name?
I asked Ethan Sherwood Strauss the same thing.
Did you?
Yeah, I was like, why?
He dropped the Sherwood. He doesn't really do Ethan Sherwood anymore, right?
I think we made him feel self-conscious about
why.
But how did he decide to do that? Like why?
Why?
Yeah.
I think there was another Ethan Strauss or something. Like, I think there's another Sean Griffin, and so you go Sean Patrick.
Yeah, but that's life. Everybody, like, you're not gonna be the only person with that name. That happens.
Well, that's why you had the middle name to show that you.
But who's the other Ethan Strauss? Like, was he writing fake basketball stories?
No,
that.
Was, It was like a someone who was writing for Salon.com or something like that. I don't know.
Mm. Why don't you go initial on that situation?
Right. Well, that,
Ethan
that,
S. Strauss.
That's no, even
it would be
worse.
E. Sherwood Strauss.
Oh no, yeah, yeah, that is exactly. Absolutely yeah, worse.
Sherwood is so pretentious.
R. Anthony Bellamy. Yeah,
such a pretentious middle name. Sherwood. Like
Roy, you should do that. R. Anthony Bellamy is a great name.
Oh, that is.
I'll do it when I write a book.
Well, Billy's therapist name is G. Lewis Gill. I think that's tremendous. What would your pretentious first initial middle name last name be?
I don't have a middle name, so that
really.
Yeah. Ooh,
neither do I.
Yeah. Oh wow, this is a great
opportunity.
I always
thought you were a mean L. Hassan.
So it'd be A. L. Hassan.
Guys, you know how yesterday we gave away Dan's spot?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Can we give you guys nicknames or middle names?
Middle
today?
Names. Sure. I don't know if I'm.
But you have
my...
to legally change it.
Oh. That's a big that is a big commitment. It's also a lot of calories burned. I lost my credit card while I was traveling. And so now, like, which by the way, a really cool innovation. If you have Apple Pay, the credit card changes straight away. So I report my credit card as lost. I get on a plane. 40 minutes later, I land. I have a new credit card on my phone,
really?
Which is incredible. But like even that, it's like I'm thinking, oh God, now I got to go into my Google every time I have like my credit card is like an Apple, like an automatic thing. I got to remember, I got used to my 3-digit code. It was a soccer formation, so it's like I just knew it
4-3-3?
Off the top. Right? No, it's 4-4-2. Now that that card's gone, I can't use it anymore. But I got so used to it, but I just am sort of imagining all the admin that I have to do with the change of credit card. Now, like I've been told that changing names is incredibly tedious.
Wait, it happens all the time, right?
Right,
people get married, right?
Right, exactly. But I've been told, like, my sister-in-law told me it was a pain in the ass
to go to the DMV and do things. There's a lot of stuff.
All of you, right? So to like for the sake of a podcast gag, I don't know if I would legally change my middle name.
You know what I would do, Woody? I would say yes, I'll do it, and then I'd never do it, which is what we do at the show.
Why?
I think I can have like an affectionate middle name, but I don't know if it's going to be a legal middle name.
An affectionate middle
name?
Yeah,
like
Kisses.
Like...
Christopher Kisses Woody.
No, it's like we're friends, right, having a good time here, and like this is like kind of like my pet middle name.
Christopher Bobby Whittenham.
Bobby.
Do you ever think, like, I wish I had a middle name, either one of you, and, like, what it might be?
No.
So I always understood why, which is my name is already too long. It's 21 characters as it is.
Yeah.
And so to add a middle name in there, it's even more writing.
I would think that you would have a middle initial of J, Christopher J. Whittingham.
Mm.
So what's the J name?
What if I just don't have a J name? What if it's just J?
No. It can't be J-A-Y. That's,
No.
That's
what if
ridiculous.
It's just the letter J?
Oh, no. What is this, Men in Black? No. You got to have a name.
Yeah. I also don't have a middle name either.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I just go now and, like, all my documentation.
Isn't
Ryan the middle name?
Nope.
That's just hyphenated.
My first name is Michael Ryan.
Really?
Yeah, but...
Why don't we call you Michael Ryan?
Because it gets too complicated.
No.
So now, like, in everything that I've ever filled out since is just... Michael, middle name Ryan.
No.
Technically, Michael.
So you're
Ryan.
Like a either
Bluth.
a
you're like a Bluth.
You're like a Premier League footballer or a young actor in the 90s.
No, he's a Bluth.
All have hyphenated names.
He's a George Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Ryan. Empty middle name slot right there.
Ah, man, I like that.
Michael Ryan kisses Ruiz.
Wow.
For Witty, the J, I want Christopher J. Anthony Whittingham. How about that?
Wait.
XOXO.
Anthony?
J apostrophe Anthony.
I like that.
I
was going to say Josiah, but
no,
we can
J.
go
Anthony,
with
J. Anthony. Anthony Brown? Really?
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Mustard mixes with mayonnaise better than ketchup does.
What?
Yes.
No.
What you've just said is appalling. What you've just said is an offense to anyone who's ever eaten.
Stugatz.
Ketchup. Oh, my God. Don't like it on anything, but...
What?
Ketchup? Yeah.
You're un-American!
This is the Don Levitar Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
So Billy and I are the members of the production team that are most liaise with our sales force.
Love a good
at
liaise.
At DraftKings. It's the
what do we do?
The verb form of being a liaison.
Oh,
so we liaise.
We're middlemen
With the sales force over at DraftKings that take care of all of our sponsorship, and so we gave them a full array of things for the football season that they can sponsor should they desire.
You guys went NASCAR on them. You said stick a logo on any one of these things,
and they come to us all the time. We want more things to stick a logo on. Yeah.
How about Cinephobe?
Has Cinephobe had an advert? I think they've had a couple.
We do an ad for Quentin Tarantino's podcast.
That's right. Yeah,
you movie guys, archives
had,
or something
had the
like
Quentin
that.
Quentin Tarantino
ones.
I
love how like in the middle of their ad they stole a Cinephobe line. Like, oh, the movies you're afraid to admit you love. Like, wait, what? Like, they just stole our copy.
Yeah. I don't think that's how that one worked. No, I think we got sent a line and you read it. Yeah, you read it. Anyway, so this coming NFL season, we've got a couple of sponsors we're really excited about.
Yeah.
One,
also, lots of things are still for sale if you want.
Yes. If you
and we're for sale if you want to just reach out to us independently, because I don't think there's any rules.
Chris, are you still
for sale? What are the rules on like a random person just wanting to sponsor something? Like, what if my neighbor, Carl... What if my neighbor named Carl was just like, I want to sponsor this segment?
If he pays the right price,
it's like, this segment is brought to you by Chris's neighbor, Carl.
You remember the polls? Correct. Remember when we were at ESPN, there was a guy, because we had a sponsor of the polls, and then they stopped, the sponsorship ended.
But I thought we made that part up about like some guy.
No.
I don't remember.
Wait, you're talking about like Chris from West Palm Beach or whatever wasn't a real person?
I don't remember. Even remember
I think that was made up. I don't remember.
No. Yeah. God.
I don't think we took $10,000 from some person.
Well, they stopped us. ESPN stopped us. Like, you can't have people just sponsoring stuff. It has to go through the proper channels.
Well, I mean, there's different rules back then.
Yeah, I know. I'm just, was that real? Are you guys for real?
I don't think that was real.
It was just made up?
You can ask Feldman. Feldman knows.
Oh. I gotta talk to Feldman.
You don't have to talk to Feldman.
Talk to Feldman again. Me and him need to catch up.
No.
Yeah.
We got a couple
things
we gotta talk about too.
I really need the money.
We need to stop talking directly to Feldman.
No.
What?
That's my boy.
Come on.
Yeah.
No, we have a process here. We have to follow the process.
It's more of like a friendship call than like a business call, you know? We talk
Well, that's how Lewis got his child's middle name sponsored. So we need to stop with the calls to Feldman.
So Chris, to answer your question, if they're willing to pay for our going rate for podcasts, yes, your neighbor Carl can sponsor the podcast. Now,
what about his son, Carl Jr.?
Uh-huh. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I like where your head's at.
Oh, Hardy's over here.
Anyway.
go to the other one.
We got a mouse
go
in the house.
Go to the other one.
Nice. Wait for it, everyone. Wait for it.
It's taking too long. I'm sorry, buddy.
It's there somewhere.
Oh, now you got to turn the pot on. You got to raise
the mouse in the house.
You got to click the mouse.
I mean, you've heard there's a mouse in the house before.
Basketball?
Yes. Please explain to Billy what that means.
Billy, you don't know
what... Minute and a half.
I'm fine. It doesn't matter.
No, you need to know.
So, Billy, when you've got someone being guarded by a considerably smaller person, or not necessarily, just if you want to shit talk the guy guarding you, you call mouse in the house, which means like, oh, I got a little
short
one
shaming,
on me.
Short shaming,
and throw me the ball, and I'm going to put in work.
Man.
Barbecue chicken.
Can't be doing
exactly.
I dare you to say that tomorrow.
Barbecue chicken. I'm hungry.
What? Mouse in the house?
Yeah.
To who?
To whom? Who do you want me to say
Your
to?
Your guest co-host.
Oh. Are you daring me or him?
Are we playing basketball?
I don't think he's going to be playing basketball.
We get the little hoop outside.
Yeah. Anyway.
I want to know about Ron McGill. mm-hmm. before he plays.
Okay.
Like, what's his prep? Oh, I've got him, I don't know, I've got him showing up earlier than anyone because he's got to stretch for like 20 minutes.
Uncomfortable uh-huh. old man stretches.
Yeah, right? They are uncomfortable. They for sure look uncomfortable. So
I got him also doing some Dick Bavetta jogs.
Yes.
That's actually not far from what
Rom
it is.
Does Rom have warm-ups that he wears and takes off?
No warm-ups. He comes in sandals. Ooh.
Sandals.
Yeah, he comes in sandals.
With the hoop sneakers. Don't touch exactly. the ground. It's time to hoop.
No, like thong sandals.
Flip flops.
Yeah, like flip flops.
Huh. If I wanted to secure a pair of tearaway pants, like the ones that like
East Bay.
Really? Are the like? Do they, oh are man, those
East Bay is still going, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Of course. Those I used to have a pair of And One ones. They were awesome.
So you would did you could, you could did you ever like
well
rip them
I
off.
No okay
I
no
I did that in rec basketball
yeah but here's the thing I was the only like kid. It was like these are really cool but like when you're younger and you're you know like elementary
oh,
school
mischievous
and you have
friends
them, yeah your mischievous friends just rip your pants off all the time is what happens when you have tearaway
you
gotta
wear shorts
on.
Underneath the tearaways
yeah
no you were, wait hold on you were just wearing these pants like recreationally as pants
I was just hanging out man. I just liked them.
And you had nothing, like just underwear and that's it?
Well, I would wear them out like with family members that I knew were not going to be ripping off my pants because I saw it happen to enough people that I was like, I know I can't trust my, you know, classmates with these on. I'll get bullied and be pantless walking around the streets in my underoos.
So, Chris, to answer your question, yeah. The game starts at 7 a.m. Right.
That's too early.
What?
On a
yeah.
Saturday?
The, yeah. Oh,
holy shit.
That's
early.
Old. That's no. old. People pick up.
Dude, on
it
a
is.
Sunday,
no, it is. It's an old head game.
Pay me to go. Play
no, it's a Saturday, not a Sunday.
Saturday. Even Saturday. Worse.
Saturday. God.
Yeah, 7 a.m. the game starts, and
5:45.
No, it's literally across the street from my house. Okay. It's like 6:45. I wake up, roll out of bed, brush my teeth, wash my face. I'm out there.
What about stretching?
Yeah, I stretch when I get there. Okay. I mean, I don't stretch
good.
Before.
Yeah.
So Ron walks in. Let's say the games start at 7:15, let's say, just so people can trickle in. Ron will get there maybe like 7:02, 7:05.
Wow.
He comes in flip-flops.
Fashionably late.
He's got, you know, his shoes. He's got a bag. He's got a couple different things. And then he starts getting ready. He'll take off the sandals. He'll put on his socks. He always wears NBA socks, like the old school NBA socks with the logo.
Dude,
I love those so much.
They were so great.
I had to start tossing them because I wore them out.
Holes in the bottom.
And I just kept wearing them and wearing them. I'm like, I'm not going to give up. Before they switched to Stans, there used to be an NBA store in called City Walk,
Disney Springs.
Universal.
No, it was the Universal one.
Oh.
So like the one by Islands of Adventure and Universal.
You would always see
Studios.
How big people's hands were on the ball.
Yeah, you could put your hand on the ball. By the way, did you guys see that like on social there's like a thing like in the NFL like Hall of Fame, it's like this is how big linemen's legs are.
Yeah.
And you like go and you stand to compare yourself.
It's
to,
like a molding, I mean, that you walk into
of the side of like their leg. And then, like, the average Joe is standing in it, and it, like, goes up to, like, their nipples.
Yes.
Right? And you're like, holy shit, like, these people are huge.
How wide is it, though?
It's huge.
Dude, his body fits inside.
Your entire body inside of the person's leg. But also, like, here's the thing that everybody was thinking and no one's saying is, like, they missed something. You know what I mean? Like, when they were doing the cast of, like, the sides of the leg.
I mean...
Yeah, you got it, Chris. You nailed it.
The mold didn't fit long. It wasn't...
Anyway,
wide enough.
So there used to be this NBA store.
Do it again. Take the measure it again.
There used to be.
Hold on, give me a second.
It's calling me. There used to be an NBA store like right outside of like Islands Adventure, and I had like the annual pass because at the time it was like buy one ticket for like $100 or get this the entire year for $103. It's like I'll do that.
Yeah.
So then you're like looking for excuses to go up. You go up like every weekend because it's like a short drive ish from down here, right? So every time I went, I got a different color pair of NBA socks. So I had like the full like spectrum. I had like navy, I had baby blue, I had yellow, orange, green, maroon, red, black. I had every color except white because I'm like, these are just gonna get dirty. I don't want white, right? The most white. Comfortable socks. I'd walk around with everything I'd be wearing was these NBA socks. And then the store closed and they turned it into like this Willy Wonka's chocolate factory type of thing.
That place is fire. That place is fire.
Is it? Mm. I've never gone. But once that died and then Stans took over, I was like, this is the end. The end of an era. No more NBA socks.
Stans had the deal for like 3 years and then Nike does it all.
Oh, really?
Nike does the socks too. But no, those are great socks. I still have a pair that I wear. You got to talk about holes. When I hoop, I double sock. So even the ones that have holes in them, like they still get run.
So he's got a whole duffel bag.
You
right?
Does the hole go over? The hole is pair number two above the sock that's on your foot.
The inner sock has to be the one that's solid.
Intact.
Because otherwise, if you put the hole in there, then you're going to feel your toe go through it and touch the other sock. Yeah. That's a weird feeling.
Mm-hmm. Also, my NBA socks never got holes on the toes. My NBA socks got holes on the heel.
Yeah, mine too.
But I think it's because I had rough floors and I was walking around in just socks and the floor was tearing up the socks.
You can't walk with them outside too because that's where it really gets like...
Yeah.
It's tearing up my socks when I'm with you. There you go. What?
Oh, no buy-in.
Man, that hurt.
So Ron puts on his NBA socks.
But that whole like show up to the game in sandals to then put on your
no,
shoes.
No, that's how you
the
do
boss
it.
Move. If you're an athlete,
you never wear your basketball shoes outside.
Never wear them.
Never.
I wear them to play ball in, and that's it.
Exactly.
I don't believe you.
That's it. Well, I don't do anything anymore. So
I'm judging you, but I guess I do that with golf shoes.
Exactly. You wear your golf shoes to the concrete.
But golf
no.
shoes have the little thing on the bottom that you can mess up.
But my hoop shoes need grip.
Yeah.
But you're playing recreational basketball. Yeah, but you're not an NBA player.
That doesn't matter.
Do you have set up like for before your games, like the little like
sticky
thing that you stand on?
I don't have that.
Do you do the thing where you wipe the stuff off your shoes?
You
it's
have
just
to.
A power move to like, it just
guys,
look,
you
makes you, you look
do,
like a
guys,
basketball
you
player.
You do the LeBron chalk thing, don't you?
No, there's no chalk. There's no chalk, but you always have to wipe the bottom of your shoes, and that's why I also don't walk with them outside because then they get dusty.
Do you slap the floor on defense?
No, I don't play.
Do you think they're taking care of this court that well? Like the court is probably
they're not. That's the point.
You don't play
that's
defense?
The point.
No, oh,
as
God.
If do you slap the court
like
on defense?
Like man-on-man defense and I'm slapping the floor like Duke? No, I don't do that.
No, but
half the time we're playing zone.
Billy, that's the point. They don't take care of the floor. So that's why you can't risk having dusty-ass shoes that you've been...
But you just look cool doing that thing where you're sliding like the bottom of your shoes. Like,
have you ever
like,
seen somebody play recreational basketball and be slip-sliding like they're on roller
skates? But my point
skates?
Is, I think you would do that even on a great court because it just looks cool. Yeah. It's just like, I'm a basketball player. Let
you're
me do the thing before I go.
I need to do it.
What round pick is Ron? If there's like 15 guys out
here
there.
Here we go. Blast.
Well, hold on. Let me finish with Ron's like
who's
getting
better,
ready.
Bill Lawrence or Ron?
Bill Lawrence out here hooping?
Yeah,
Tony.
Me and Bill played like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, I feel
who's better? Bill
I mean,
or Ron?
No, Bill's better. Bill's got more legs. Like as far as like
everyone
Bill's nice.
Bill's nice. He's got great old man game. And finally, somebody can understand what I'm saying with that. Everybody else was saying, oh my God, that's horrible. I'm like, no, he's got a great old man game. He's got great pump fakes. He uses both sides of, you know, both sides of the hoop. Like, he's a really good player. I could tell 30 years ago he was a problem.
Oh,
now he's 50
yeah.
years old. He's got a rotator cuff, you know, rotator tough care.
Yo, is it wild when, like, whenever what? You hear, like, someone hoops and you're like, man, if he's playing, I could get out there and play. honestly, I'm like, Bill Lawrence out here playing, man. I could go out there and play.
Dude.
Bill Lawrence could dunk you. He's a big dude.
I've got him with like a mean streak on the court.
Yeah,
like, not
me too.
In a, like not fighting
elbows.
People, but just like you want
yeah,
like
elbows.
You don't want to go
tough,
after yeah.
He's a tough guy. He's
yeah?
a tough guy to play with. Yeah. I'm telling you, he's like I'm trying to think of what his equivalent, you know, basketball player would be, but
yeah,
like
all of this is just like very insulting to Ron McGill. Can you
no,
get to say a complimentary
true,
thing about Ron?
So
you're like,
say
does Ron have a
Ron?
Good old man game? Because you've never given him that compliment.
He's never said that about Ron. You've never
no,
said he has
listen,
a tough
listen.
Streak. You've never said 30
is,
years ago he was a problem.
No,
none of these
years
things.
Ago Ron absolutely was a problem. He was 30
right?
years ago. 30 years
yeah.
ago. So he gets ready. He was 30 years old. 30 years ago is what I was trying to say. So he puts on his NBA socks, then he puts on double ankle braces.
Oh,
me too.
Power move.
So double ankle
one
braces.
One on each ankle, not two on each ankle.
Right.
Okay.
Power one move. On each ankle, but usually you just need one for the bad ankle. He's got both just in case.
I like
case.
That.
Puts on some shoes, and then he starts the old man stretch. He kind of does like a lot of like, you know.
Calisthenics.
Oh. He hits the step and he stretches the calf, you know? That's that stretch. Yeah. Then he does a little Dick Pavetta jog back and forth.
Does he do high knees or butt kicks?
No.
I've that's, seen him do the kick, like the Russian kicks where, you know, you kick up to...
No,
he's talking about like... yeah, they're called freedom kicks now.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, freedom kicks.
Zach's in the... He's like, what?
Zach's in here? Where is Zach?
Zach's in the chat.
I just saw his face react. He's like, what?
Should we throw to this?
Well, we
yeah.
Gone over.
Yeah.
Zach Hopper, everybody.
We have a best of here. Enjoy.
our interview with Mario Cristobal. Also, I started the segment talking about sponsored football segments. And
Big announcement.
Yeah.
We'll make that announcement later.
We'll do it in hour one.
Yeah, hour one.
Right. It's called one. Continuity, folks.
A tease.
Don Levitard.
The best nugget that Stan Van Gundy has regarding defense is...
Stugatz.
How the top defensive teams in the league defend now goes against conventional wisdom. Most teams seem to focus on stopping the three, but the top three defensive teams in the league, Milwaukee, Indiana, and Boston... Hey, listen, this is 2 weeks in a row of you guys messing with my nuggets. Like, I'm starting to get pissed off here now. This is ridiculous. No respect whatsoever. None. Oh, my God. This is awful. All right. Wait a minute. Respect the Nuggets, Mike.
Dan, not kidding.
I know. I am a dignified NBA fired coach who deserves, well, probably the respect that I'm getting. But nonetheless, I want to be treated with more respect.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We're supposed to have Cafecito in here. It is late arriving. It is unacceptable. Thank you, Mario Cristobal, for being on with us. Welcome home. I have a million different questions. First of all, what is most Cuban about you? Give us all the ways that you are maximum Cuban.
There's no way that I'm not. That's the point. I'm the guy that, when I was living in Oregon, used to hang out at Mucho Gusto for an hour to be able to speak Spanish while I was away. So everything from café con leche y la tostada por la mañana, que tenía cuatro años, to you name it.
So what was the breakfast since you were 4 years old, and was it made by grandma?
It was made by both abuela and abuelo. And what happens is, as you know, when you dump a shot of cafecito in your café con leche and you're four, you bounce off the walls and you don't take advantage of nap time at school. So the teacher thinks there's something wrong with you and they send you over to detention all day. So I had to deal with that. I think all Cubans kid had to deal with that.
Is that the reason that you don't have time to dream? Because you are hopped up since 4 years old on some crack cocaine octane coffee?
Yeah, I tell you what. But yeah, as you know, being raised down here, being raised during that time, there's nothing like it, right? Hard to explain, really, like truly a historical and epic time and era down here in Miami. So really grateful for that.
Outside of your family, outside of your friends, give me a handful of things that you missed most about Miami.
Well, I'm a water baby. So, I mean, I think my dad and I, my brother, fished off of every bridge from here to Key Biscayne to Miami Beach down to the Florida Keys. So we did that and haven't been able to do that in a while. The food, the people, really the energy. I mean, landing in the airport at Miami International versus anywhere else, it's a far cry from that. Traffic did not miss, but I'm okay with that. I love the rolling thunderstorms that come in and then leave and leave you in a hot sauna out there on the field. That's always good as a player and a coach. But, man, I just everything about it, man. I mean, there's nothing like it. People always talk about the weather. I mean, I play football in 20 below or 100 degrees. It don't matter. But overall, it's always about the people and the energy.
Coach, the tiny jersey they gave you for that opening press conference, where is it? What'd you do with it? I mean, regifted?
Did you ask, why is it so tiny?
I've decided to use it as a punishment for anyone that doesn't behave. They got to wear it.
I think the part that people don't know about you, Mario, is
that... You say my name, bro?
Oh, wait a minute. We've got a fan here who's very excited.
I haven't seen him in years.
Peepo, we have not seen Peepo in years. Peepo is here to say hello to Mario.
What's up, bros? Oh, yeah, Mario. Welcome home, bro. Bro, that's my guy right here. You know what? I was a little bit worried about you. I'm not going to lie. A little bit worried about you. Because you know what I said? I said, how is it that this school is going to pay $800 million to este tipo that FIU votó? But, as I suspected, as I suspected, Pete Garcia, and you can confirm this, es tremendo come mierda. What he was doing, cuando te votó. Same thing with Blake James. Say it right now. Say it right now. Blake James come mierda for not hiring
me
5 years ago. And the Pete Garcia is a come mierda also. Everybody knows it. Dilo.
The only thing I can say is that is, you talk about things I miss, that is one of my favorite words. I can't repeat it on air, but that is one of the best words ever created by this brand.
Is it
That's
one,
right.
Is it one word? I thought come mierda was two
I
words.
I think you put it all together.
Oh, here we go again with this journalist. Be careful around him, Mario. I'm telling you right now. Ten cuidado, because this tipo, I don't know if you know who he is. This is Pell Grant over here who tried to cancel your university's football program probably when you were there. Snitch. Ten cuidado.
Coño.
Exactly. Coño is right. And we keep coming on here, giving him todo este respeto, but he's the guy that tried to end this university. Not even the program, the university, the one that he allegedly went to.
Good morning. Buenos días.
Oye, Mario, listen, it's been a lot of softballs right now, so let me ask you serious questions, okay? Softballs, that's right, Daniel. Softballs.
Tell him to go PRC. What's going on? Amanda.
Excuse me?
You're just throwing heat right now, people.
Relax, okay, Mike, relax. Mario, what's going on with the turnover chain? Are we done with that or what?
Oh, I'm not addressing any of that stuff till we actually start. The guys are back on the 16th, I believe, 17th, which we'll meet. And the entire program, like I spent the last 4.5 weeks just assessing everything top to bottom, from personnel to culture, you name it, so that when they come, we start fresh, and I'll get with the team on everything regarding policies, regarding culture, how we do things. So all that stuff will be addressed, and I'll get it out there as soon as possible.
Bah. So yes or no?
It's a good question.
The tough
listen,
question.
You went right into coach speak from Coño. We thought we had softened you up with Coño.
Mira que people te gusta joder, coño.
That's right. No, that's, I'm gonna hold you accountable because that's what's been missing in this program for years. Because we had that other guy that came on here and everybody's like, oh, this guy's a Cuban, this guy's an embarrassment is what that guy was. Man, he did. And I was a little bit worried because here's the thing, Mario, and you know this better than everybody. Cubans can do anything. They can turn trucks into boats that drive across the ocean. But this guy has people thinking that Cubans can't coach football. And it's an embarrassment. And now people are going to stick that to you. So I need to make sure that this is a totally different situation. And I'm not going to get into the coaching moves so far. But I'm a little bit worried about this Mirabal, because I don't know if I could say it now, but he's like, the last time that we had a coach that was like that was Manny Diaz. And then, I don't know about this other guy that you brought in for the weight training, but that guy, is he gordo si grande por gusto?
Are you kidding me? You got to settle down here, people. Tell us about the mustachioed strength coach.
Hey, well, this one's for people. Last time I checked, the Outland Trophy winner, that's the number 6 overall pick for the Detroit Lions, was groomed and coached by Alex Mirabal. So I'll leave it at that. Not to mention.
There you go. That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear, Mario Cristobal.
Okay, aquí it's going to be about lo grande, los animales up front. You got to be.
But good grande is not grande por gusto. Say it. We will not have grande por gusto. Promise me right now.
The strength coach, his name is Aaron Feld. I'm sure you saw him. He was with me at Alabama, then was over at Georgia. We went and kidnapped him right away to take him to Oregon. Porque tipo un caballo. He knows. He understands the sport.
Se nota.
Part of it. And the guy's a complete, complete pro. And the energy that comes out of him, the guy's unbelievable. So those two guys are home runs. More are coming over the next couple of days. Throughout the course of next week, so we can hit the road running come once the contact period begins again on Thursday.
Are you satisfied, people? People, are you?
Look, Mario. Psst, between us, we'll talk. Shh, okay. They don't test the coaches, right? Because ese tipo me parece un poquito, you know what I mean? And su raso un poquito, but that we don't need to worry about because they only check the players. No, so we don't need to worry about that coach, even though he's retired. Ese tipo está inflado, bro.
Yeah, I mean, he is impressive. He is.
He got everything at the GNC on our side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I know people at that GNC and I know people at the LA Fitness, so don't. You know what I mean? Ya tú sabes.
Oh man.
Oye, where do you get your croquetas from? This is very important. Are you an Isla Canaria guy? Or are you a La Carreta guy? A Versailles guy? Because I know someone at Isla Canaria, and we can maybe work something out, because this is what I was thinking, especially if you get rid of the turnover chain. There's this big cafetera that's on wheels that they have on Bird Road. And I was thinking, we get that cafetera and we put it in one side of the end zone. And then we can celebrate with cafecitos after touchdowns. And then in the other side, I can call my boy John from Isla Canaria. And maybe we get a big inflatable croqueta that we put in the other end zone. And then that's how we have it. Croqueta, cafecito in both end zones. What do you think?
I think empanada over croquetiga. That's my choice.
Oh, yes.
Whoa, whoa.
Yep.
Cógelo suave,
yep.
bro.
He's going to throw a loaded meat potato at you. You better back off, Pipo. He's not having any more of this.
No, hey, on a side note, this is very different than any interview I've ever had.
Well, that's because we asked the tough question. Everyone else... Pardon my French, is pussyfooting around you, and we're not doing that here today. We're asking you the hard questions, and we're going to hold you accountable. I also have a business proposition for you when it's appropriate, so Dan can let me know.
All right, give us a second. Let me just ask him a couple more questions to you.
Good coaches at Miami, the real good ones at Miami, they were held accountable, and they were all tough asses. So,
well, we haven't had any of those in a long time.
Hey, I'm going to hold your ass accountable, too, all right?
I dare you.
Okay, just back off for a second, people. Just for a second. Please. There are a lot of Miami fans who would like to hear from the coach. Just back off for just a second.
They also want to hear from Pipo.
Well, welcome. Yes.
Stop encouraging him, please.
I am not disputing that they also want to hear from Pipo. It has been a long time. You, along the path here, and Mario's handling this much better than the previous coach.
You think?
Now, because Mario's maximum Cuban, but one of the things that people don't know, perhaps, about you, Mario, is that as menacing as you are and you were as a player, your brother would drag you around by the hair, right? Your brother, Luis es el animal de los animales.
And I think you're trying to bait like a cage match between me and him. I think that's what you're doing with that comment right there. But oh no, Luis has been a judo, you know, sabaje for a long, long time. And, you know, he certainly was a great player. But okay, look, Miami's Miami. And the energy and, like, to be able to talk like this is what Miami is, right? Like, we all come from, like, really different upbringings, and we've seen it all down here. So this is awesome. So I enjoy this. I'm all about it. And, brother, we got a ton of work that we got to do to make it look like we want it to look like. And I'm talking about in every aspect. And that's okay. I mean, that's why, you know, I've got the honor and the privilege to be back here. But It needs el apoyo. It needs todo mundo. Okay, let's go. Because when you watch Miami from afar, the thing that stuck out to myself and a lot of our alum was like, "Coño, man, when things don't go well, you know, it almost feels like it tears each other apart a little bit, you know." And that's hard. That's hard. And
that's
then
what's up.
A wave of momentum. There's a lot of juice, and it's affecting recruits in a great way. I mean, the guys that we have committed and signed. Our top tier guys, man, and this roster needs to look like that. You know, after a few years, it needs to look like one of the best, if not the best, in the entire country. So, we got to keep rolling, man. Balante, balante.
Can you tell us what the greatest concern you had before taking the job about Miami that was allayed?
Well, I from afar, you could tell that from a recruiting standpoint, things weren't working out. Right? They weren't. You weren't hitting on some of the top tier guys on a consistent basis, right? So there were holes, or I would say there was a lack of depth and maybe some, you know, some areas on the roster that needed more development, more improvement. But the one that really concerns you when you go away to Alabama, no, imagínate, you go over there and the place looks like the Taj Mahal, right? You go to Oregon and the football building itself, the training room, the equipment room, right? You walk in there and it's the who's who of the Air Jordans, right? And it's all the bells and whistles, recovery system, strength and conditioning, support staff, the personnel in your personnel department, from your director of recruiting, director of scouting, director of on-campus relations. You name all, it's like an army that Coach Saban had put together, a flow chart that really just encompassed everything that you could ever imagine at the highest level, player development people, sports psychology, the attack on mentality and the attack on complacency through sports psychology, and also the mental health specialist. All those things were resources along with facilities that were my biggest concern. That was it, because it has to look a certain way for it to turn into something that looks a certain way. Does that make sense?
And they promised you, like, they, whatever your fears were, they're gone.
They're gone. Miami's going to look like the best in the country, and, you know, as long as it takes to go.
The U is back. Mario, is the U back? Yes or no? Dan, ask him direct questions. Is the U back? Yes or no?
You just asked him.
Well, you know, that was hard to hear. What did you say?
Is the U back? Is the U back?
Yes or no?
Yes or no? Is the U back?
These are not yes or no questions. I
oh, my God.
Go. There's no slogan. There's no bull. You know what? You got to work, man. There's been enough slogans. There's been enough caca out there for a long time about this. It's time to work. It's time to grind. And it looks a certain way. And the U has to go to work. There's no more, you know, comiendo, you know, we got
mierda. Comiendo mierda.
Last thing I'll ask you before we give you a toast here, and people's got a gift for you that you can't quite see necessarily, but there is a gift involved. The most emotional moment you have had shared with anybody along this path, because I've got to imagine landing here, the flight, seeing your family, whatever the celebration was, whatever was happening in the yard, there were probably 1,000 of them, but the one you think of first is...
Oh no, it's mom. I think you guys, it's known out there. You know, mom's sick, and I appreciate all the thoughts and prayers. People have been unbelievably supportive. Imagínate, you know, la gente lo cuida también ha sido increíble with our family situation. So, unfortunately, because of that, and because of the pace, and the pace is manic. It really is manic, like 19 to 20 a day. It's like it hasn't settled in yet. But I think mom and her, seeing the fact that I was wearing, you know, a UM logo, I still call it UM, seeing the logo on my shirt and that I was back home is the one that really struck hard.
Mario, it is a thrill to have you back. People, do you want to do this presentation here? You have something that you want okay.
Enough, Dan. Thank you. I got this from here.
Yes.
Mario, listen to me. I know that you're about turning things around at this school, and Sebastian has been very nice for the years that he's been around, but I think that it may be time that we update it. And you didn't jump on Zoom, but I'm going to show you this mock-up I have of a potential new mascot. And here you go. And as you can see, for the people that see it, my boys, Rene and Raul designed this. And it is a gallo with a chain that says 305 and a hat. And I would be more than happy to pass this along to you. And just so you know, I have for you also, nuevo de paquete, a custom t-shirt of it that we can send your way,
okay.
And we can have merchandising that we can sell and make un montón de papel.
Okay.
So let me know, I'll talk to Rene and Raul, and they can get back to you.
Are you willing to have a gallo as the mascot wearing a 305
chain? You gotta see it, bro. It's dope as hell. You can't see it right now because you're on the phone, but this thing is dope as hell. You're gonna like it, I'm telling you right now. What's your address? I'll send it to you.
Okay, we'll get that off air. Are you willing to consider the idea of replacing Sebastian the Ibis with un gallo?
Ya tú sabes.
Dale, bro, dale. I knew I liked this guy. I knew this guy was different than the other one. I'm telling you right now, I knew it. And you were questioning it then, and I knew that he was different.
I was not questioning it. A toast to the...
And we don't even need to get into what you said about his brother in the past.
What are you talking about? A toast? Are you crazy?
He's
unhinged. I would never say anything about Luis. A toast to Mario Cristobal with our cafecitos. Gracias, señor. We know you have to get back to recruiting.
Pa' arriba, pa' abajo, pa' centro, pa' dentro.
Pa' dentro!
Yeah.
Ah, qué rico.
Para coger impulso. Go Canes.
See you later.
Okay, thank you, coach.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think. about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.